This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to another hour of What's On Your Mind, the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains. By the way, I didn't give out the numbers for the text messages today. We are getting them from some folks who remember that number. But if you're hearing anything today, any questions or comments that you want to weigh in on, always welcome your text. You can text Todd at 701-226-8503. 701-226-8503 or me at 701-367-2054, and it doesn't really matter. It's just which one you catch. They both get to us, and will make their way onto the program. But any questions or comments you have, certainly calls always welcome. 800-228-0550, the toll-free telephone number. Email studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. Brought to you today by the North Dakota Petroleum Council. EnergyofNorthDakota.com, a great resource if you want to learn more about the amazing innovations that are driving progress and will for generations in North Dakota, because we want jobs and careers for generations, don't we? We want American energy production that protects our land and the wildlife for generations. And today, advanced technologies deployed by North Dakota's oil and gas producers are making that happen. And with the promise of emerging technologies, the energy of North Dakota has a very bright future for generations. North Dakota Petroleum Council brings you this message. Learn more at energyofnorthdakota.com. All right, still to come on the program today, we're going to do some more of our legislative recaps. Another one of the legislative leaders joining us today, Al Carlson yesterday, Rich Wardner today, Governor Burgum tomorrow on the program. And later this hour, another of our Dakota Access Pipeline radio history episodes, we're going to be joined by Senator John Hovind on that project and talk about his overview of the entire thing, as we did with Kelsey Warren, the president and CEO of Energy Transfer Partners last week, but also talk about some news related to, I guess I'll call it a down payment on the federal obligation for the to the state of North Dakota for the reimbursement of the expenses related to that particular project, something Senator Hovind announced this week. So all that coming up yet this hour. You can join us at any point in the discussion. Love to have you. Rich Wardner is the Senate Majority Leader, a Republican from Dickinson. Senator, nice to have you back. How are you?
Well, I'm doing very well, Scott, and thank you. And it's kind of good to be home and kind of decompressing. Thank you.
I'll bet. That's quite the treadmill. In this case, 77 days over the course of the last number of months. It started late in December, well into April this year. With the session, what's your headline? How would you write the story of this year's session?
Well, I listened to your interview with Representative Carlson yesterday, and I have to agree with most of everything he said. We did balance the budget, and we didn't have a tax increase. But I would like to make the note that many people would say, yes, you did. You didn't completely fund the 12% buy-down on property tax. Well, you know, there comes a time when that was embedded into our general fund. We were able to provide some more property tax relief when we had the money. We don't. And, it's about $100 million less that we will be providing. But I would like to point out that over this time, we have, since 2008, we have continued to take over more and more things at the local level. We, and Representative Carlson was right on the money when he said about 37% of all dollars that are used for services that come from property taxes are provided by state government. So I don't think we have anything to be ashamed about or anything like that. We are helping local governments provide the services.
So would you like voters to see what was done as less of a cut just based on the budget environment, or do you think it's fair to say that it's an increase to them?
Well, it's done because of a cut, and there may be some increases. I'm sure there are in certain counties. It depends. I do know that taking over the county social services was a big thing because we took 20 mills off the table in every county. Now, not every county was using all of that capacity. That 20 mills is a capacity, is really what it is, and a lot of people don't know. A dollar per mill is different in every county, but it's gone. You'll never have to worry about the county assessing the full capacity going forward. So I think that's huge. But I really believe that we did some good things. We could not be sustaining property tax relief forever at the state level. Otherwise, we're going to have to raise some other type of tax. And people don't like that. And people did complain about our budget. And I just want to remind people that our general fund budget has embedded in it all of that money that we used to take 115 mills of capacity off the books for the locals in K-12 education. So they'll say, well, he's spinning it, but I'm telling you, that's the facts.
So, you know, if somebody said, hey, I kind of like that level of property tax relief, and I know that now the counties have the burden of social services funding taken away from them, and the state has taken that on, so that obviously frees up the 20 mills, but it doesn't get us all the way to staying at the level of property tax relief that was happening before. Do you think, would you suggest that property taxpayers advocate with the local taxing entities, schools, counties as an example, to make up the difference, that they find them, that, in other words, okay, the state did its share on property tax relief for as long as it could. Now it's time for the local government to do that. Is that a fair request of the taxing entities by the citizens? Should they do that?
Yes, Scott, it is a fair thing. If the state had to cut because of the lack of, you know, the revenue was down, I think that our political subs have to do the same thing. So absolutely, you're right on. And you got to remember, at the state level, looking at the general fund budget, there were lots of agencies, and especially higher ed, that took major cuts. But up until the end, we hadn't done anything with property tax, and we had to make some cuts there. That's just the way it is. Everybody took a haircut. And so we think that going forward, that property taxes belongs to the local political subs. It is not a tax of state government. And so we needed to get out of it, and I think we did the right thing at this time.
Ed in Bismarck has a question about an issue that came up very early on in the session and remained one until the very end, as a matter of fact, wind. Ed, your question for Rich Wardner. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't have a question for him. I was going to make a statement about wind energy.
No, go ahead. What's your statement on wind energy?
Okay. I was wondering if you guys had ever heard or if you could do some research, but I was told by a very good source that, you know, we have the wind towers and the wind energy, the renewable energy, but we're having to keep our coal-fired power stations fired 24/7, 365, because when there's no wind, or if something happens and the wind generators go down, so we have to keep the coal burning all the time. Have you ever heard of this before?
Senator, I'll defer to you on that.
That is a real issue. We're concerned about the coal-fired plants because they've provided base energy to our area for many, many years, and they are not able to increase and decrease their production like wind can. They can decrease the output. They can shut down somewhat, but it takes them a while to get cranked up again. So when they're needed, it takes them a while. And there's no question that the coal-fired electric plants are a little bit in trouble. What has wind been using? Wind has been using gas-generated electricity to back them up. but there aren't enough of those. And so they still depend on coal to back them up when the wind isn't blowing. So, yes, sir, that is a big issue, and we will be taking a real good look at it, studying it as we go forward. I have nothing against wind. It's a part of the mix. But sometimes some of us think when we talk about all of the above, all of the energy types above, that we're going to support them. Sometimes we wonder if wind through federal subsidies isn't the one that is being completely favored.
Oh, absolutely, sir. I mean, we're paying to have that energy, that it's backup. We have to have the coal-fired units going for backup. And you know as well as I, it's a beautiful morning this morning. There's not much wind. They're not producing. They might be, but...
Wind does not blow all the time. Absolutely true, which is one of the reasons you really need an all-of-the-above solution to any of these energy issues. Thanks, Ed. More with Rich Wardner when we come back. Our legislative recap on What's On Your Mind.
The program that asks a very important question every day. What's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
Central Steel Building and Construction in Carrington is your source for the outstanding Shivers Performance System. Shivers' revolutionary CompuDry Command Center is a fully automatic computerized control offering you precision, control, efficiency, and capacity, assuring your grain is dried to your exact specifications. Minimize your drying costs and maximize your profits. Let Shivers handle your grain. Check out your Shivers system today at grainstuff.com or call 701-652-2886. Central Steel Building and Construction, your source for Shivers Performance System.
Hi, this is Kevin Pfeiffer with Pfeiffer's Auction Company. Pfeiffer's upcoming machinery and land auctions include farm equipment retirement auctions in Bowman, Wild Rose, New England, Hillsboro, Watford City, Cheyenne, McCluskey, and Steele, North Dakota, and exceptional cropland auctions in Wells, Dickey, and Grand Forks counties in North Dakota, and cropland auctions in Clay, Norman, and Becker counties in Minnesota. For complete information, call Pfeiffer's 877-700-4099 or view all of these auctions at Pfeiffer's.com.
PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better every day. Four for four. Four items. Hot Stuff Personal Pan Pizza, 20-ounce drink, two cookies of your choice, $4. How's that for a great deal? The folks at PetroServe USA pride themselves on giving you choice at the pump. That's right. They connect North Dakota's farm fields with North Dakota's oil fields, and you win. Plus, there's great savings everywhere, like Nestle 24 packs of water, $3.99 each all month long. Hershey's Cookie Layer Crunch Bars, king size $1.09, standard size 59 cents. 1 liter Ice Mountain Water is 99 cents each. Classic ham and cheese and traditional Italian Deli Express sub selects are only $2.79. And register for your chance to win. The $50,000 giveaway is on. New winners drawn every week, so register today at PetroServe USA. Valley Dairy Stores in Grand Forks are part of the PetroServe USA family now, too. PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. Tell them Scott sent you.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere. Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
We're back on What's On Your Mind, chat today with Rich Wardner, the Senate Majority Leader from Dickinson, recapping the legislative session. Questions, comments, welcome for him at 800-228-0550, 800-228-0550. By the way, we encourage your calls, questions, comments, texts as well. One of the texters just sent a note here about our conversation last hour related to the budget situation, saying, I like your show, which is really nice. I really do. Wow, that's nice, too. Why do I feel like something's going to change, Todd? I do not like how it sounds like you're defending this disaster of a budget in health care. We elected Trump to defeat Democrats, not to work across the aisle. I'm skeptical about September and just feel like we're going down the same path, kicking the can down the road. All right, thanks for the calls. Text, and comments, and others, welcome. Let's go to Dan and Garrison for Senator Rich Warner. Go ahead, Dan. You're up. What's on your mind?
Hi, I've got a question. He said, Senator Warner said, everybody took a haircut. I wonder if you could talk about Dickinson State University and seems to me they got additional funds. So I'll just hang up and answer his reply.
Well, Dan, you're right. They did get some additional funds. But they took a haircut. If they would have been left where they were supposed to, they would have had about a 41% cut, and we got it back to about a 12% cut. And there's no question the problems that happened at Dickinson State were their own problems. However, the people that were responsible for all those issues are gone. And I'm asked again and again, should there be somebody in jail? And yes, there should be. But it's passed and it's gone. We're trying to keep the university at least viable. And one of the big programs we wanted to save was the nursing program, which we need nurses all over the state. So that was a fair question. And yes, we did get some extra funding, and it was needed if you want to keep a school going out here in the southwestern part of the state.
Appreciate the call. Speaking of haircuts, you have been a strong advocate for the dollars invested in western North Dakota rather than this idea of the dollars coming, you know, to the state government and then doling out back out to the local entities, especially in the oil-impacted areas. And previous session, a great formula was worked out. How did that formula fare? How's western North Dakota faring with oil impacts?
Well, I think we're doing all right, although there was seemed to be an attack on using some of that gross production tax money that was dedicated to the oil counties and cities and townships and schools and hub cities in western North Dakota. We call it the formula. There tended to be some that wanted to get into that and say they got too much, especially the townships, and share it with other entities outside of the non-oil. But I'd like to just make a quick comment here and before I continue to answer that question. The oil money has been able to help fund the last two sessions before this, county roads in the non-oil areas. We've used oil money for water systems across the state, flood control. And so that all equates, Scott, to property tax relief, because those political subs will never have to raise any property tax in order to fund those. The other thing that I want to say that is that out here in the West, one of the areas that was attacked was hub cities. They think that, you know, Dickinson, Williston, and Minot are called hub cities. They get a little different allotment than the regular formula. But I want you to know that these cities had to make major investment to take care of the influx of population, and now they've got debt, and they've got to take care of that debt. We cannot afford these three communities to have stranded debt. You might say, well, what did they spend it on? They shouldn't have had debt. Well, when you have to put in a wastewater treatment plant, which costs around $45 million, and you have to put in extra water towers, and you got to put in pump stations, I want to tell you, that adds up quickly. And so Williston is major. Dickinson, not so much. Minot, further down. But each one of these communities needs to continue to be a hub city and be funded to help them retire their debt, which they got because of energy impact.
Governor Burgum has vetoed nine bills, including the PERS budget, which I know was hotly contested in the 11th hour of the legislative session. He is saying the reason for his veto on the PERS bill was to remove the early termination of the health insurance contract and said it's an unproven hypothesis that a two-year non-renewal contract period will produce lower rates from potential providers. Basically, it had to do with the length of the contract. Sanford had described the agreement as a six-year contract. PERS officials said it's a two-year contract with two options to renew for 2 years. Your reaction to the governor's veto?
Well, basically, the Senate would agree with that. And you might say, well, how come you voted for it? Well, we were in the about the 76th day, and I could see that we were headed to the same type of a finish as we were last biennium. It was deja vu, Scott, all over again. I talked to House leadership. I had a long talk with them. I tried to find out just exactly why they felt that we needed to terminate that contract in the next 2 years and not let it play out over the four with the provider. Sanford is the insurance provider. And after a long discussion with them, I called our caucus in, talked to the minority leader over in the Senate Democrats, visited with them, and we made a decision that we were going to say, fine, we would go along with it, because if we didn't, I would have still been in session today. I believe, no, yesterday. Yesterday was the 80th day. We'd have been there till midnight last night if we hadn't have said it's not worth it. And that's exactly what the Senate, to a person, said it's not worth the fight. We made the decision. We went along with it. We called Sanford in, told them what it was. They were not very happy. They felt it was a breach of contract. And it went on, and I see the governor has vetoed everything in there. And basically, at one point, the Senate voted 47 to nothing to support exactly what the governor did.
All right, so you agree with that veto. He said where he did exercise his veto authority in the other areas, he did so to clearly delineate between executive and legislative powers and to prioritize spending at a time when fiscal restraint is essential. You agree with the other vetoes?
Well, I do. To be honest with you, I've gone through them all. And there's one that that had to do with our money out west, and that was taking $16.1 million, and it was taken from the SIF program. However, it affected some of the formula money in a different way. We kind of moved it around like a shell game type thing. But that $16.1 million went from the SIF, which is the Strategic Infrastructure and Investment Fund. It's the last fund that gets all the money from the oil revenue, and it was given to the non-oil townships to help with roads. But he is absolutely right. It never had a hearing, Scott. It was put on a budget bill in the House, and we couldn't get it off.
All right. Appreciate that very much, sir.
We don't have anything against the townships, but that's what happened.
Good overview. Thank you, Senator. Appreciate the time today. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Take care.
Senator Rich Warner, our guest. When we come back, Senator John Hoeven. Talk Dakota Access Pipeline, a radio history episode next.
How is the route chosen for the Dakota Access Pipeline? This week's guest on the radio history of the Dakota Access Pipeline is Kelsey Warren, Chairman and CEO of Energy Transfer Partners. Here's his comments on the protests of the route.
There's so many lies around this project. It's just ridiculous. When you're a pipeliner, what you'd love to do is the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. That's what you would like to do. Problem is, that doesn't work. You're going to go through somebody's house. You're going to cross environmentally sensitive areas. So you begin with the route that is most appealing to you, and then you begin to vary it. And that's what happened to us. And so I don't doubt that there was many, many thousands of comments about that this route would be better than this one. And those comments came from all sorts of people, governments, individuals, landowners, Army Corps of Engineers. Energy Transfer was doing what we were told to do.
That's Kelsey Warren of Energy Transfer Partners on the Dakota Access Pipeline in the process of working with the Public Service Commission and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on the route. Keep listening for more radio histories of the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Warning, if you've recently declared bankruptcy, you're going to want to cover your ears. Because there's an alternative to bankruptcy, and it could be better than you'd ever think possible. But if you've already declared bankruptcy and have missed this opportunity, you'll want to cover your ears now. Here it is. Right now, the company that has resolved more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. may be able to settle your debt, too. You can resolve your debt with one low monthly program payment. If you call right now and qualify, Freedom Debt Relief will show you how low your monthly program payment could be for free. Call now, 1-800-660-1297. That's 1-800-660-1297. If you're struggling with debt, this could be your answer. And the bigger your debt, the more money you could save. To find out for free how much of your hard-earned money Freedom Debt Relief could help you save, call now, 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297. 1-800-660-1297.
Service Center. If you've got a loved one that is a technician, does mechanic work, maybe on the tank trailers, doesn't have to be, but just you know any kind of technician work, I tell you, Polar Service Center, great company, Minnesota company with 30-plus service centers that service their tank trailers that they manufacture in Minnesota, Polar, and other tank trailers as well that are serviced. And they have locations in Killdeer, Williston, Billings, Montana, and they need people, paying up to $32 an hour. Looking for technicians right now, incredible benefits package, 401k match, the full health care, and great pay up to $32 an hour. Just a good, good company to work for. And I want to give you a telephone number in a moment here where you can jot this number down and give them a call and learn more. Gary, it's 701-495-3592, 701-495-3592, Polar Service Center. You tell them Scott sent you. All right, well, we started last week. A series that we're going to be doing over the next 20 weeks. And we will take a segment or two each week and try and get to the truth of the Dakota Access Pipeline Project. And when I say try, it's not been done yet. Much of the media coverage has been distorted, wrong. There has been an enormous protest mechanism funded by all kinds of nefarious characters. And, of course, 90% of the protesters even that came here to North Dakota to protest were not from here. So quite an endeavor. So the truth has been hard to find through this whole thing. Our effort here is to just go back, retrace the steps a little bit, and get to the truth, to get to the facts. And we're going to do that with a number of people. We last week spoke with Kelsey Warren, the chairman and CEO of Energy Transfer Partners, and today we talked to Senator John Hoeven for a couple of reasons. One, obviously, he was in the United States Senate as this was happening and watching it unfold. And, of course, some of the things that happened in the Obama administration late, very challenging and causing some of the issues related to all the protests. But also, as prior to that, he's seen a lot of energy infrastructure projects come down the pike and can give us a fair perspective of this project in comparison to so many others and sort of his analysis of the whole thing. That is the things that are obviously in the news related to the budget and federal funding for the Dakota Access Pipeline protest we'll get to as well. But we'll start with the radio history of the Dakota Access Pipeline Project with Senator John Hoeven. Thanks for joining us, Senator. How are you?
Scott, good to be with you.
So if someone came up to you and said, what happened? What happened in that whole deal? What would you say? How would you write the story from the start as to how it unfolded?
Well, you know, really a protest movement that we've seen in other places across the country that really got going in our state, and it's part of this effort to protest development of energy infrastructure. And the irony is, I think a lot of it is obviously fomented by the environmental groups that oppose the use of fossil fuels. But if you think about it, this cuts across not just traditional energy, but renewable energy as well, because you've got to have pipelines. You also have to have transmission lines to move, you know, renewable energy, whether it's wind or solar, but electricity. But you need roads, rail, and bridges. You need all of that energy infrastructure to move energy safely and effectively. And if we're not investing in new infrastructure, then we're forced to rely on old infrastructure, which wears out. So this is not only about energy and all types of energy and moving it cost effectively, but it's ultimately about safety.
Why did those protests you talk about succeed, for lack of a better term, to the degree they did here in gathering the attention of the rest of the country and the rest of the world, really, as it pertains to the environmental extremists, the eco-terrorists, as I call them? Why did it went on a long time and was obviously very successful in getting their message out? Why did that happen here like that?
Well, in part for some of the reasons that you just identified in kind of your introduction, and that is that it was a very well-funded enterprise. You had something like 31 different environmental groups that were providing substantial funding for this protest. And then, of course, the use of social media. And also you have people leading these types of protests that are very experienced at doing it, including, the communications campaign.
Well-funded. That's an area I don't think the average person that had their lives disrupted as a farmer or rancher around the construction pipeline route, or for that matter, families of law enforcement that had their lives upended to participate in this area, maybe spend much time thinking about. But when you say well-funded, how does that work? What are they funding, and what is their intention? How do they get the money? How does that work?
Well, the irony is that we see a lot of very affluent people, oftentimes from the coast, maybe from New York, from California, also a lot of movie actors that, are high profile, and they get involved in these issues, and they have, in essence, a cause. They have a lot of money. They have a platform. But they don't really delve into the underlying factual basis of what's going on. And so that's what we saw with the social media. They were putting out a lot of information that was just false, misleading, wrong. It was certainly false in regard to our law enforcement effort. Our law enforcement officers were diligent, professional. They worked to protect people, not only protecting the people that live and work in the area, our farmers and ranchers, but protect everybody, including protecting protesters' right to protest, and a lot of that information was put out that was false. But understand, a lot of these folks come from, from Hollywood or from the coast. They have an agenda, but they have a lot of money, and they have a platform. And so when they go out on social media, obviously they command a lot of attention, which obviously is very counterproductive when they're putting out inaccurate and false information.
Should that be illegal for me to write a check to somebody and say, go protest, and then they're getting arrested and they're chaining themselves to equipment and defacing equipment and terrorizing and doing what they're doing? Am I not culpable when I say, here's money to fund an enterprise that ultimately goes on to break the law in North Dakota again and again and again?
I think we have to evaluate it. People have a First Amendment right, and we dearly protect that. But any kind of protest has to be done within the law, and we have to respect other people. We have to respect property rights. And so we have to evaluate, as the means of communications change with the Internet and so forth, we always have to be evaluating to make sure that we protect people's First Amendment rights, but also we make sure that they have to respect the law and the rights of others. And so that's a constant effort to evaluate how this should be handled, particularly with the changes in technology and communication and how people are able to do business nowadays.
And how we respond to a, effort like this that I would sort of call a fake protest. What you just described there and how that all works is really a fake protest. Obviously, they're exercising the First Amendment right in some ways, But they go on to expand on that, break the law, and doing so with a well-funded, with a bigger agenda that doesn't necessarily play out on a television screen or front page of a newspaper. When you say, oh, these poor folks, you know, what's going on? You assume it's a grassroots level, just some folks down here, when really it's very different than that. I mean, there ought to be a distinction there, shouldn't there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look, there were over 700 people arrested, and over 90% of the 700 people arrested were not from North Dakota. I mean, not only from other states, but other countries. And so, and that was over 90% of the people that broke the law and were arrested for it.
You know, Texter just said, if I paid someone to hurt somebody physically, I would go to jail. Tell me what the difference is.
Well, again, that's why people have to be responsible. No matter what we do, people have to be responsible for their conduct. And that means everybody has to follow the law, and you have to respect the rights of others. Part of having the right to protest means you respect the law and the rights of others.
All right. A couple other things. Big picture, why pipelines? I mean, we put rail on
because
trucks,
it's an anthem.
Right? We put them in trains. Why do you think they pick pipelines to protest?
All right. So that's the irony, right? I mean, here you're talking about making investments that help move energy not only more cost effectively, but more safely. And so it doesn't make sense from a factual basis, but because it's high profile and it's part of an anti-fossil fuel agenda.
What did you think in the middle of this? You've seen projects proposed before. You've seen people concerned about them or protesting or whatever. At what point did you say this one is very, very different?
Well, you know, I'd been exposed to this kind of thing through the Keystone XL pipeline and some of the activity in Nebraska. So it wasn't that we hadn't seen it before. I think this was one, though, where the environmental groups really worked to get Native American assistance. And so in that respect, I think it was a little different. But it is part of this effort to block energy infrastructure development. So in that sense, it wasn't new. But as you say, it was one that got a lot of momentum and commanded a lot of national, even international attention.
Tom in Burley County for Senator Hovind. Go ahead. You're on What's on Your Mind. We're going to have to get Tom to turn his radio down, if you wouldn't mind chatting with him, Manny, and then we'll come back to him with a question. How about the government interference? How about what the Obama administration did?
Scott, that's a really good point. That's the other problem, is that the Obama administration delayed resolving the problem, and then made decisions that prevented us from solving the problem, which we weren't able to overcome until we got a new administration. So that was a big part of the problem as well, which really impacted our ability to resolve the situation and get it done in a timely way, which would have made a big difference in terms of difficulty for people who live in the region, impact on their lives, on their livelihoods. And obviously for our law enforcement, made it much tougher. And that's, again, why I say if you really look at the work of our law enforcement officers, and I mean across the board, local and state law enforcement officers, and then, you know, ultimately when we resolved it, we were able to get federal agents assistance in there in a significant way to help on the reservation. You know, the law enforcement people did an outstanding job, and we owe them a real debt of gratitude.
What can we learn from it in 30 seconds or less?
To understand how this works and to take steps right at the outset to make sure the accurate information gets out, that we resolve it quickly and effectively. We respect people's right to their First Amendment right, but we resolve any of the lawlessness quickly and get federal government help to empower us to do it, not hold us up.
Short break. We'll get Tom in Burley County in for Senator Hovind when we come back. Any other questions, certainly welcome to, as always. Text us, 701-367-2054. Call us, 258-0550, your local Bismarck Mandan number, any 701 area code, 258-0550, that telephone number. We'll continue after this.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com.
Have you seen the Killdeer Mountains? It is one beautiful part of North Dakota. And our friends at Polar Service Center are looking for a shop supervisor to run their Killdeer location. So you get the best of both worlds. Work for a great company, Polar Service Center, and have some great beauty, outdoor recreation, and so much more all around you. Hunting and fishing is just phenomenal. If you have tank or trailer experience, management experience, call Gary Myers, 701-495-3592. Gary is the regional manager for Polar Service Center, the largest tank trailer manufacturer in North America, and they have these service centers all across North America. If you have experience with tanks or trailers, this job is for you. Polar Service Center, Killdeer, North Dakota. And by the way, they pay up to $32 an hour. They have great medical benefits, including 401k with matching. Incredible deal. 495-3592 to apply today. 701-495-3592. Call Gary at Polar Service Center.
The Safety Minute, brought to you by the North Dakota Safety Council, sponsored in part by Workforce Safety and Insurance. This Safety Minute features Don Mosman, NDSC Training Director, discussing first steps in creating an emergency action plan.
It is not as big of a mountain as a lot of business owners or managers really think it is. Really, it starts out with assessing what you need as far as I need weather emergency, I need bomb threat, I need fire, etc. Then basically, there are resources to give you best case scenarios for each of those. Don't be afraid to ask for help to your first responder agencies. Ask us for help. And in fact, if you contact us, we do have a template that will allow you to gather the information that you need and create that emergency operations plan.
For your free template, contact the NDSC at 701-223-6372. That's 701-223-6372.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better when you fill up at a PetroServe USA location. And now Valley Dairy is part of that as well. Valley Dairy's location's in the Grand Forks. You are getting a choice of the pump courtesy of North Dakota's farm fields connecting with North Dakota's oil fields. Is that not great? That's what they do at PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. Continuing our conversation with Senator John Hoeven, our caller in Burley County is not there any longer. Not sure what happened, but Gordy in Fargo is there. Let's see. Oh, Gordy, are you there? Let's try now. Gordy in Fargo, go ahead for Senator John Hoeven.
Okay, one of the things you had mentioned earlier about the railroads and why they're not protesting the railroads. The reason they're not protesting the railroads is because they are the ones that are funding these protests. I've got a friend who's a bank teller in Bismarck, and she said she would regularly be cashing checks from these protesters that had bank logos on them. These railroads get paid double for a tank car full of oil that they do for a car full of grain or a freight car. You have to follow the money. Several things. One, if someone's caught protesting and they're arrested, they lose their benefits, welfare for the rest of their life. Number two, if they're wearing a mask, they should be shot on sight. There's no reason why a protester should be wearing a mask. Number three.
Gordy, hang on a second here, if you would. And do me a favor, hang on after so Manny can get your telephone number, because I'd like to learn more. I've heard from other people that talk about this story of the railroad checks, but I've tried to get a little more facts on that, and you'd help inform that, so hang on. Senator, to his point, though, obviously there'd be a motivation financially for the railroads to be against what the pipelines are doing. I've heard the exact same story he said, where people firsthand said, no, I've seen it. My particular take is that it may be some railroad name, but that's sort of a ruse. That's a way to have George Soros fund it and make you think the railroads are paying for it. The railroads themselves wouldn't actually be paying for it. What's your take?
Well, I think it really is coming from, some of the extreme environmental groups and some of these wealthy individuals that have an anti-fossil fuel approach. I think that's the Hollywood types that, are out there on this agenda. I think that's where it really comes from. We actually need a combination of pipeline and rail to move oil and gas, in the most cost-effective, efficient, and safe way.
On his other points, does more need to be done to recognize that this is a model? I mean, these protests are not just of oil and gas, but really a lot of things are getting violent. They're getting there's a lot of law breaking going on. Do we need new laws?
Well, we see this kind of violent activity going on throughout the country, and even infringing on people's right to go speak somewhere, like maybe at a college campus. And we can't have that. We've always been the country that protects the First Amendment, and part of protecting the First Amendment for everybody means that, yes, you can protest, but you need to do it peacefully and within the law. So this is something that we have to work on, and not just when it comes to energy development, but across the board. I mean, this is about protecting the right to free speech and protest in a way that respects everybody's rights and is done peacefully.
Couple of quick things. One, the cost to the state of North Dakota, the Dakota Access Pipeline, has been estimated to be upwards of $40 million, some say even more. And, of course, I think everybody agrees that there is a significant culpability in that in the federal government. You've got a down payment of sorts on that, I believe, right? Is the $15 million received as part of this process thought to be all of the federal government's response or a part of?
Well, we'll keep working on, but we work to secure up to $15 million in the Department of Justice State Emergency Assistance Funds. And, we developed the provision and the funding, and clearly the federal government needs to help. I think this is a good start, and, we'll continue to do more to try to make sure that we help cover that cost that not only state of North Dakota, but our local law enforcement, Morton County and others, incurred as well. And we have gotten the cleanup funding as well in addition. So that we've got, or we'll complete getting all the cleanup money covered. The $15 million is what goes on the law enforcement reimbursement side, and we're continuing to work on that.
The $15 million for North Dakota and this effort is a good thing that came out of the budget that we're hearing a lot of bad things about from a lot of listeners and others. In fact, Rush made the point yesterday, I think, something to the effect of, why do we vote Republican if this is what we get? Democrats got everything they wanted. Obamacare, Planned Parenthood, sanctuary cities all funded, yet no border wall. Even when they're in power, they're not in power. So what do you say about all the complaints from conservatives about this budget?
Yeah, I think that the administration should push back on that some, because I think that it really was a deal that the administration got more and the Republicans got more than they're getting credit for. I think the Dems are out there kind of trying to tout they, quote, got a win. But if you look at it, when I started here in 2011, discretionary spending was $1.5 trillion. This omnibus is $350 billion lower, less than that. So we have significantly reduced all discretionary spending, which this covers. On the mandatory side is where it's going up. On the discretionary side, it's going down. And at the same time, we got more money for defense and more money for border security. And furthermore, as far as all these provisions that go to rules and regulations, that used to be a bigger issue when we had to deal with the Obama administration. Now we have the Trump administration that is cutting and reducing these rules and regulations, so that's ongoing as well. So I think we have to be careful to look and see where progress has been made here, and I think that the administration actually did get quite a bit of things out of it. And I think the Democrats are really working hard to spin it. And so I think we have to look at some of the underlying realities here.
They're darn good at that spinning stuff, that's for sure. Senator, thanks a ton. Appreciate
Take
the
care.
Time. We'll talk to you again soon. You bet. In fact, Senator and I were talking off the air that $1 for military, $1 for discretionary is now gone. So that's going to be a good deal. Talk about tomorrow. God bless you.
MVI Energy Services is hiring. A career with MVI lets you enjoy excellent pay, great benefits, and a variety of work schedules that best meet your family's needs. Join our team at MVI Energy Services. Go to MVIEnergyServices.com or on their Facebook page to find out about today's listings of great career opportunities. With hundreds of companies operating in the oil fields, why should you choose MVI? It's the best. MVI Energy Services. Tell them Scott sent you.
Hi, this is Troy from CNC Farms of Donnybrook. We're your registered and certified seed dealer. At CNC Farms, we pride ourselves in providing top quality and wide variety of seed. We offer forage barley, oats, millet, 4010 forage peas, forage mexes, malt barley, flax, durum, chickpeas, green and yellow peas, spring wheat, winter wheat, alfalfa, pasture mexes, beans, and much more. Online at ccseedfarm.com, your registered and certified seed dealer of Donnybrook. Call CNC Farms, 701-482-7865.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Has your body ever gotten low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.